So tonight we get to finish our series called Refresh and Connect. We get to close it out, and it's been a really good series to do. It's 8 weeks of a discipleship series where we've covered all of the fundamentals of the faith, and tonight we're going to cover the final one, really the one that brings them all together. So we've talked about the gospel, we've talked about eternal security, which is the idea of knowing that. That once you're saved, you're always saved, that you can't lose your salvation, that that there's nothing you can do that will make God let go. It says in John that no man will pluck them out of my hand. I've talked about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and what that looks like and the idea of that. That's really hard for us to get our heads around, but we do our best there. We talked about the Bible. We talked about how it was put together and what it actually means to us and how it should be the guidebook for our life, and why we can know that it is the infallible Word of God and that it is the most special book that's ever been put together, and it is God breathed. We also talked about growing through spirituality and our growth in our relationship with God and our relationship with others was also the topic last week when we talked about fellowship and all of that. We also talked about prayer and our phone link to God. And so this week is really going to be the one that brings it all together. And I kind of feel like a video like this might be a good way to start off. So take a look at this.
Harden! Don't! Yes. There you are! We got trouble! Wait. Can you hear that? No, I'm here. Okay, listen. No, go. Kangaroo has gone nuts. Bananas. She's telling everyone that you should be kicked out of Newell.
She said that? I thought we were friends.
Word is, she's gone to Vlad.
Vlad. I know two Vlads. Is it the bad Vlad or the bunny Vlad that makes the cookies?
Yeah, Horton. She's sending you a bunny with cookies. I think we can assume it's the bad Vlad.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So, unless you're cool with giant razor-sharp claws ripping the flesh off your body, I get rid of the clover.
I can't. I promised the mayor. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. And an elephant's faithful 100%.
Please, for me, just this once, be faithful 99% of the time. I've never got 99% on anything, and I think I'm awesome. So come on.
I meant what I said, and I said what I meant.
I'm not gonna say it. You can do that all day, it's not happening. An elephant's faithful 100%.
That's right. That's my code, my motto. But thanks for the warning.
So, an elephant's faithful 100%, right? So we've gone through this book. We've gone through these fundamentals of the faith. And so what now? What do we do with all these things? There's definitely been an action step with all of them and something that we need to do to apply to our lives. But I want to think about that statement that Horton made, an elephant's faithful 100%. I think most of us are more like Morton, if I'm going to be honest with you. I think most of us are more like Morton, where we say, you know, I've never been 99% on anything, and I'm awesome. And we think about that. We think about that idea because it's a lot easier to be like Morton, isn't it? Because we're not really faithful 100% all the time, are we? It's hard. None of us can actually do that, okay? So I don't want you to think I'm going to set this standard that you're not going to be able to meet. Because the Bible sets a standard. Jesus even says, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Nobody can be perfect. Nobody can do that 100% of the time. But part of the problem is that we find it easier to be more like Morton. And we find it easier to just go, well, I'm good. And the fact of the matter is we're not really committed. That's part of the issue. We're not really committed, are we? We're going to be talking about evangelism tonight, the outreach to unbelievers. the outreach to unbelievers, evangelism, and it's one of my favorite topics to talk about because evangelism is the art of sharing the good news of Jesus with someone that doesn't know him. So it's the art of sharing the good news of Jesus with someone who doesn't know him. That's one way to look at evangelism. Here's the other thing. It's not an option. And this is kind of a tough one, but it's not an option. It's a command. We were and have been commanded by God. It's the last command of Jesus in Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses. For those of you that have been on mission trips, for the rest of you, you'll know this verse as well. Be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And before that, earlier in the verse, it says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We forget about that part because we want to be more like Morton. We forget that we have the power of God within us to share the gospel with people around us. And it's because we get scared and we get freaked out and we don't think that we actually can share the gospel with the people around us. And part of the problem, if we go back to the Horton and Morton clip, is that maybe we're not as committed as we thought we were. Take a look at this quote. And this is a little bit of a gut punch. It says this: the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. If you don't know what an atheist is, it's someone who doesn't believe in God. So a theist is someone that believes in God. They practice theism. So atheism, no God, right? So that's where atheist comes from. So the term atheist, someone who doesn't believe in God. And what this guy is saying, this guy's a pastor, and it's really hard for me to argue with this. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who say one thing and do another. We say we're this, but then we do that. And some of that can be summed into us not sharing our faith. I heard somebody say one time who's actually an atheist, if somebody that you loved was standing in the middle of the road and a truck was bearing down on them and you kept telling them, get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way, there would come a point where you tackle them if they don't move because you love them. And the news that we have about Jesus is more important than that because it's not just getting hit by a truck, it's eternity. Right? It's the most important thing. Seriously, tell me something more important. Anybody, raise your hand. Right? We won't argue with that. Here's what Jesus said in what is considered the Great Commission. It's what it's called, the Great Commission. And this is the main idea behind this entire book that we've gone through. Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we share with people? There's various methods, but there are some core things that we need to know. I can teach you about 8 different methods of evangelism, in all honesty, and how to share your faith with somebody. But there are some core things that we need to understand maybe before we get to that point. One of them's right on that wall right there. There's a reason it's hanging up there, right? And we'll talk about that here in a second. But let me tell you about the first one. What's it take? If you're following along in the Bible app, by the way, this is all on there. Number one, it takes boldness. This is not for the faint of heart, right? How many of you have attempted to share your faith or maybe given a life book to somebody or something like that and got completely shot down? I've heard stories, various stories of people getting completely shot down, even humiliated, made fun of, something like that. You know what I say to you? I applaud you for having the boldness and the courage to share your faith no matter what, because it's the most important thing to share, is the good news about Jesus. Guess what? Anybody and everybody who tries to share their faith with people, you're gonna get shot down. Jesus got shot down by people, right? And he was Jesus. So why do we think that we're not going to? So it takes boldness. Look at Ephesians 6:19. It says also, pray for me. This is Paul talking, super Christian. This dude was the man. Also, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Look, this dude, this is Paul, right? He wrote 13 books in the New Testament. And he's going, pray for me, because I'm kind of freaking out when I have to talk. So for those of you that are like, man, I just don't think I'm going to have the right words to say. I don't even know what to say if I'm going to share my faith with somebody. Guess what? Paul was asking for prayer from the church in Ephesus for the same thing. Paul was. But you have power. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. There's even a verse in Luke. Some pastors actually go by this. It's called a Luke 12:12 method, meaning they don't even prepare for a message. They just let the Holy Spirit lead. And when they get up to preach, they just preach. There was a dude that I got to go over in the UK with, and he was a preacher, and he did that. Freaked me out. I don't know how you do that, because I'm a prep person. But man, his messages were amazing. And he literally asked me 30 seconds before he went up to preach, Jay, what do you think I should preach on? I'm like, really? You know? And he went up there and just preached this, like, killer message. Why? Because he let the Holy Spirit speak through him. Granted, he had a deep wealth of knowledge. This dude used to be the dean of Liberty University. So he's not an idiot. So the Holy Spirit gives us power, though, guys. You will get the words to say if your heart is in the right place. I guarantee you. I've been there, done that. Times where verses come to mind that I didn't even know I had memorized. Seriously. And I probably don't. It's the Holy Spirit. It also takes clarity. What do I mean by clarity? The message of Christ is simple. It's very simple. And we overcomplicate it. We overcomplicate it big time, partially because we're human. And we think there's got to be more to it than that. Okay, so Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And if we trust in him and he rose from the grave, and if we trust in him and accept him and accept that gift of eternal life, we have eternal life. That's the gospel. We are saved. If we put our full faith and trust in Jesus, we're saved. And we go, but there's got to be more to it than that. Like, I got to be good enough, and I got to be smart enough, and I can't mess up ever, and I got to have like the whole New Testament memorized, and we start adding these things. It's a really simple message. God, our sins paying everyone life. Why is that up there? Because it's a really simple way to give you every aspect of the theology of the gospel. It's right there. It's really clear. But we overcomplicate it, and we believe the lies that it's complicated. Don't believe the lies that it's complicated. After tonight, you will know, all of you, if you just put a little bit of effort into it in our small groups, you will know the gospel, all of it. It takes clarity. Here's another one. It takes follow-up, and this is tough. This is a tough one, because once a person trusts in Jesus as their Savior, they need to be discipled. They need to be discipled and walk through. A lot of times, you'll see people will just accept Jesus as their Savior, and we've had it happen here, and then just maybe you never see him again. Or they never do anything else with it. And so then it starts begging the question, well, did they even accept Jesus? You've not seen any life change. Were they just repeating after me, just to repeat after me because everybody else did it? It takes follow-up. It takes follow-up. And that means we help other people grow in their knowledge of God. That's what this is, guys. This is discipleship and follow-up, right? We grow in our knowledge of God and his word. And a simple way to disciple them is, I don't know, maybe you have some friends that have recently been saved. I don't know, just off the top of my head, would you maybe perhaps have an 8-week book on the fundamentals of the faith that you could walk your friends through? Oh, snap. We got a stack of them, and you're about to finish it today. It's almost like we did that on purpose. You will be trained up at the end of this. You didn't even realize that this is what we were doing, but here it is. You're trained up now at the end of this. This is the whole idea, guys, is to take this book and to walk somebody else through it, to disciple them. That's why we've got it as a PDF for you to download, and we even made it as an iBook. If you have an iPad, I can get it to you. We've got it made that way. If you want to walk somebody through a discipleship book and go through the fundamentals of the faith, it takes follow-up, guys. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Listen, look at me. He has called us to seek and save the lost too. He's called you, and he's called me. Not just me because I'm a pastor. All of us have been called to be a part of this. This is the cause that he has given us as followers. Everybody's all about being part of a cause. What greater cause is there than the cause of Christ? What greater cause can you get behind than knowing for sure that your friends are not dying and going to hell? I hate to be so blunt about it, but no, I don't. Because it's the truth, right? We are to make disciples who make disciples. Our goal in here, student ministries, is to train you guys up to go out and duplicate yourselves, to go out and teach your friends what you've learned here, what you've learned about the Bible. It should be a lifestyle. It should be a lifestyle. It's not what you do as much as who you are. It's who you are. John 20:21 says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This is the mission that he's given all of us. This is the way he explained it. The Father sent him, he is sending us. Do you realize that he is sending you? Have you ever let that really sink in? Maybe you have. Maybe you need to let it sink in again. The gospel is not to be kept to ourselves. He is sending you right where you are. Look at me, guys. You are in a mission field right where you are, wherever you have been planted. Whether it's at school, whether it's the places you go, how many opportunities do we maybe pass up to share the gospel with people that are around us all day, every day? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You might get sick of hearing this. I don't really care. You're in the biggest mission field on the planet for 8 hours a day. 64,000 high schools and middle schools in the United States, and you guys are in them for 6 to 8 hours a day, every day, for 3/4 of the year. There is no other missionary on the planet that has like that kind of access to that big of a mission field. And what I mean by that big of a mission field is the most amount of people lost that you have direct contact with. Yes, there are plenty of, I'm not dissing any missionaries or anything along those lines, not even close, because there are people that are living in places that are tough. But to have that kind of access, guys, are you taking advantage of it? See at the polls in a couple of weeks. This should have a whole new weight on it for you right now. I hope it does. Connection point before we go into our groups and we talk about this is that the gospel is not meant to be kept to ourselves. He is sending you and you and you and you and you, all of you, every one of you. He is sending you. Let's pray. Jesus, Father, I'm humbled to know, Lord, that you choose to use us. God, that you've chosen to send us to reach a lost and dying world with your message. Lord, it's a big responsibility. But you've chosen to use us, God, and you give us the power to do it, and you give us the ability to do it. And so, Father, I just pray that as we go into our groups now, God, as we talk about this, as we challenge ourselves, Father, to be bold, to speak with clarity, and to have follow-up with those that we come in contact with. God, I just pray that this would unleash these students to go and reach their friends for you. Lord, that's what Gladiator Games is all about, is to give a vehicle for these students to bring their friends here to hear about you. It's not about dodgeball. It's about growing the kingdom. And so, God, as we talk about evangelism, as we talk about the art of sharing the good news of you, Lord, I pray that we would all lean in and that we would try to soak in as much of this information as we can so that we can be prepared to share with those that we have the privilege to come in contact with. God, I pray for divine appointments for every single person in this room within the next 7 days. And then maybe next week we could have some amazing stories and some visitors here to hear about you. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.